Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here's your host, Adam Pfeiffer.
Welcome back to the FTN DataCast. I'm your host, Mike Randall. Follow me on X at Randall Rand, Chief Content Officer here at FTN. I am subbing in for the fantastic Adam Pfeiffer here once again, who brings you the incredible data from the Read Option or Read Option series. It's been fantastic this year. Wherever he goes, Adam, he gives you details, actionable insight that you can use for your fantasy lineups. We're in the fantasy playoffs right now. It's never been more important than now. So we're going to take you around on Sunday to four games, four critical games here that I think you're going to really need to set your lineups and make those adjustments, wide receiver, flex position, in order to bring home that fantasy championship. We're going to start here with Chicago at Cleveland, a critical game. A lot of you have had Justin Fields. He was out for a while. Now he's back. They are playing the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland favored by only 3.5, over under 37.5 points. This is how we look at it here. Again, all this information is in Adam Pfeiffer's incredible Read Option. Justin Fields continued that success against the Lions on Sunday. He had 223 yards and a touchdown, and he rushed for 58 yards and a second score. He has now finished as a top 8 fantasy quarterback in 4 of the last 5 full starts, and the Bears will continue to utilize him in the design run game because they have an offense that needs it. Since returning to the lineup in Week 11, Fields has accounted for a healthy 32% of Chicago's design rushing attempts, while averaging 10 design attempts per game in that span. I think he's going to run. He's going to run quite a bit against Cleveland, who plays a ton of man coverage, which is exactly what we want to see if we want a rushing quarterback. Cleveland is playing man coverage at the 5th highest rate in the league, 34%. If you're going to look for a Bears running back in fantasy, it's got to be Deonta Foreman, who was fully healthy again last week. He had 56% of the snaps and 42% of the rush attempts. He touched the ball 13 times for 72 yards against Detroit. This is a tough matchup too. Cleveland has allowed the fewest rushing yards per contact per attempt on the year at 0.86, but with Fields seeing a lot of rushing attempts, it feels like Foreman could get 14 to 15 carries, making him a solid flex option at wide receiver. DJ Moore, elite fantasy receiver as long as Fields is there. Not only did he catch a touchdown, but he also rushed for one last week. He's averaging over 21 PPR fantasy points per game with Fields in the lineup, including 95.6 receiving yards per game. The Chicago passing game continues to go through Moore. He's getting almost a 30% target share on the year, accounting for over 40% of the team's receiving yards. Against man coverage this year, Moore has been dynamite, a healthy 36.2% target share, while his 2.69 fantasy points per target against man defenses are the third most in the league. At tight end, Cole Kmet is now tight end 6 in PPR formats, and miraculously, he may be out there on some waiver wires. He's averaged nearly 5 receptions and 6 targets per game and has a solid 20% target share on the season, and he's a back end tight end 1 despite a tough matchup with Cleveland. However, Grant Delpit is now out for the season, so I think that could change moving forward here for Kmet for sure. Now with Cleveland, Joe Flacco has started 2 games for Cleveland. He was the QB13 and the QB9 in fantasy. So if you have Joe Flacco in 2 quarterback leads, you are doing pretty darn well. He's attempted 44 and 45 passes during that span, so he is throwing the ball. They are very confident with him throwing the ball under center, much more than some of the other backup quarterbacks of Deshaun Watson that they've used. Over the past 2 weeks, the Browns are 9th in the league in neutral script pass rate at 63.4%, and they are 4th in early down pass rate at 65.6%. We could see them throw the ball quite a bit against Chicago's pass funnel defense, because 73.3% of the yardage against the Bears this season has actually come through the pass. That's the 4th highest rate in football. At running back for Cleveland, you have Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt continue to both get work. Ford continues to play around 55 to 60% of the snaps, while Hunt is around 35%. However, Hunt has seen almost 70% of the rushing attempts from inside the 5-yard line during that stretch. I would temper expectations against both because Chicago's run defense has been really good lately, as 21% of the runs against the Bears have been stuffed at or behind the line of scrimmage, which is the 5th highest rate in football. Amari Cooper at wide receiver for the Browns caught 7 of 14 targets for 77 yards last week. That was the most targets in a game this season, even though Cooper had still found the end zone just twice all season long. An uptick in passing volume should be great for Cooper. This isn't a great matchup, as Chicago is coughing up the 6 fewest receiving yards to opposing lead wideouts, only 57.1 yards, but Cooper is still a high-end wide receiver 3 with Flacco under center because of the volume. And finally, tight end for Cleveland, David Njoku dominated last week, 6 of 8 targets, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's the focal point of the offense, as Stefanski is starting to design plays for Njoku. Since week 7, no tight end in football has seen more targets than Njoku. That's 70, while his 24.4% target share is good for 4th at the position. Start him with confidence, especially because he's seen almost 20% of his routes with Flacco under center over the last 2 weeks. Next game, I'll go to Giants at New Orleans. Saints are a 5.5-point home favorite, over under 37.5 points. Tommy DeVito's story continues. He led a game-winning drive and the Giants to their third straight victory. However, he still only threw for 158 yards, giving him fewer than 200 passing yards in 2 of the last 3 games. He's had an insane touchdown rate, one that's going to come down. His floor is really scary. You should not be starting DeVito on the road in the first round of your fantasy playoffs unless you absolutely have to. But for the Giants, it's going to be Saquon Barkley, who ran for 86 yards and a pair of touchdowns on 20 carries. The Giants have leaned on Barkley more with DeVito under center, and they are sporting the league's 4th highest neutral script rush rate over the last 3 weeks at 50.5%. Barkley is just getting all the touches. Since returning back to the lineup in week 6 healthy, he's averaging 22.3 touches per game while playing 82% of the snaps and 76% of the rushing attempts, sporting an 18% target share. In a year when RBBCs are all the rave, Barkley is one of the most reliable running backs in the NFL as you're in the playoffs. For the Saints quarterback, Derek Carr, who knows what we're going to get. He completed 18 to 26 passes for just 119 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception, but it was his 3rd straight game with an interception. He had less than 50 passing yards at halftime, and once again, the offensive passing game for the Saints did struggle. He's 30th among all signal callers in fantasy points per dropback at 0.36, and he has just 1 finish above QB12 all year long. Derek Carr is not reliable. The Giants' defense has been way worse away from home this season, giving up 28.7 points per game, the 2nd most in football, and against the blitz this year, Carr has been solid. He has a limited ceiling. He should be okay, but you have to temper expectations, because it's unreasonable that Carr is going to have a big QB1 performance against a Giants team that is scalding hot right now. At running back for the Saints, Alvin Kamara, 56 yards and a touchdown on 12 carries, which is pretty good given how bad the Saints offense was. We did see Jamal Williams carry the ball 11 times and had 44% of the snaps. That's the highest in a game alongside Kamara this year. Taysom Hill was inactive for this game. Is he going to be back? That's the question. But Kamara has seen a carry or a target on 34.5% of the snaps, which is the 6th highest rate in football. And now he faces a Giant run defense that has allowed 14.5% of the runs against them to gain 10-plus yards. That's the highest rate in the NFL. Kamara should be good in this matchup at wide receiver. Chris Olave had the flu last week. He was limited. He played through it. He only saw 65% of the snaps, but he did score a touchdown. He struggled on the deep passes with Carr, which is now a problem. He ranked 2nd in the league with 31 deep targets this season while seeing 16 targets of 30-plus air yards. He does lead the league in air yards, 1,626, but he also leads the league in unrealized air yards at 1,007, which is insane. He's going deep, but they're not connecting. Olave is now dealing with an ankle injury, so keep an eye on his status as well. If he plays, you're starting him, but temper expectations. Against the blitz this year, Olave is sporting the league's 9th highest target share, 32.3%, and the Giants blitz at the 2nd highest rate in football, 41.6% under Wink Martindale. At tight end, we'll see if Taysom Hill returns. If he does, he's a tight end 1, tight end 2 borderline because he's banged up. But the Saints wide receivers are all banged up, so he could be in line for more work over the next couple weeks. He had 13 carries back in week 13, and since week 6, he's averaging a healthy 10.5 opportunities, which is carries plus targets per game. You can definitely run the football on the Giants, and if Hill is in, he should see solid production as a tight end. Next game we'll talk about is the Commanders and the Rams, which is a critical game here for the Rams, who are looking to get in the playoffs. Rams are favored by 6.5 at home. The over-under is 49 points. For Washington first, Sam Howell should continue to see volume, and at least Washington has relied on the pass at an extreme rate, even though sometimes it is not successful. Howell has attempted at least 40 passes in 8 of the 10 games, and since week 4, Washington leads the NFL in neutral script pass rate at 67.3%, while also ranking 4th in early down pass rate, 61.3%, they're going to throw. That volume has helped Howell post 10 games as a fantasy QB1, including each of the last 6 games. This is a solid matchup. The Rams' pass defense has taken a step back. Howell is still a solid QB1. At running back, Brian Robinson is out. So since he is unable to play, it's going to be Antonio Gibson and Chris Rodriguez in a running back committee. Gibson is the preferred running back for fantasy purposes. In the 4 games without Robinson, Gibson has averaged 13.3 carries, 3.3 receptions, 16.5 touches, and 13.1 PPR points per game. at wide receiver. Despite Washington throwing the ball, Terry McLaurin has pretty much underwhelmed the entire year. He has just 2 touchdowns and has yet to read 100 yards in the game while finishing outside the top 35 fantasy wideouts 7 different times. That is crazy given the volume that Washington has provided. McLaurin has a decent 21% target share, but when all three Washington wideouts have been healthy, Howell has pretty much spread the ball around. The Rams are about a league average matchup for opposing wideouts, but McLaurin is really nothing more than a wide receiver 3. Curtis Samuel, however, is also in the wide receiver 3 range, which is the problem for McLaurin. At tight end, Logan Thomas is a borderline tight end 1, though he does have top 7 upside here. Rams are allowing the 3rd most fantasy points, 14.5, and 3rd most receiving yards, 62.2 per game, to opposing tight ends, while allowing the most total touchdowns to the tight end position, which is 7. At quarterback, Matthew Stafford has been back to his elite play. He has 10 touchdowns and 1 interception over the last 3 weeks. During that span, Stafford is 6th in passing yards and 5th in passer rating. This should continue against the Commanders, who are allowing the highest passing touchdown rate in the league at 6.7%, as well as the most yards per pass attempt, 8.1. It's great to see Stafford finally land on the friendly side of touchdown variance, and there should be another multi-touchdown game against Washington. At running back, Kyren Williams, the best ball hero that he is, continues to have one of the most solid roles in all of fantasy football, rivaling Saquon Barkley with the Giants. Williams has logged 81% of the snaps since week 12 and 72% of the Rams' rush attempts, and he's averaging 24.7 touches per game over that span while playing 100% of the snaps in the most important time, the 2-minute drill. Over the course of the season, he's played about 82% of the offensive snaps, and this Washington defense has taken a step back since trading Chase Young and Montez Sweat away. Since week 10, Washington has allowed RB10, RB1, RB6, RB30, which is Rico Dowdell, RB18, and RB3 in fantasy. Wide receiver Cooper Kupp bounced back last week, 8 of 10 targets for 119 yards and a touchdown. Puka Nacua was solid for 5 catches at 84. Both wideouts should crush against the worst secondary in football. Washington has allowed 14 touchdowns of passes 20-plus air yards this season, the most in the league, while coughing up the 10 most fantasy points per game to opposing pass catchers from the slot. Against man coverage this year, Kupp is sporting a 30.4% target share, while Washington is running man at 33% of the time, which is the 7th highest rate in football. Washington secondary playing man, Kupp eating up man defense. Sometimes fantasy football doesn't have to be hard. And at tight end, Tyler Higbee missed last week's game with a back issue. And with Hunter Long also leaving the game, they were down to Davis Allen at tight end, who did score a touchdown. If Higbee plays, he's a low floor tight end too. Only has a 12% target share though, when Kupp has made the season debut back in week 5. And last game we'll go to here in Adam Pfeiffer's honor will be Dallas and Buffalo. Buffalo favored by only 2.5, over-under is 50.5 total points. At quarterback for Dallas, Dak Prescott is playing like the MVP. He was 24-39 for 271 and 2 touchdowns against the Eagles. Since week 8, Prescott has been unstoppable. He ranks first among quarterbacks in passing yards, first in 300-yard games, first in total touchdowns, first in fantasy points, and 3rd in fantasy points per dropback. He's also been 5th in completion percentage and 4th in yards per attempt. He is a threat for the overall QB1 at the most important time in fantasy. At running back, after a brutal stretch of games in weeks 2-10 for Pollard, he has started to pick it up. Tony Pollard hasn't lived up to that late first, early second round draft capital, but he's been much better. Since week 11, he is the RB3 in total fantasy points and RB10 in points per game, averaging just over 20 touches and 90 scrimmage yards. Pollard has been more elusive, averaging 0.25 avoided tackles per attempt, which is 15th, a number that was down to just 0.09 through the first 10 weeks. He's plenty involved in the passing game as well, which could be impactful here as Buffalo is allowing the 4th most targets, 7.4, and receptions, 5.6, as well as receiving yards, 46.6 per game, to opposing running backs this season. Buffalo remains a boom-bust run defense as 13.5% of the runs against them have gained 10-plus yards, while they are also stuffing 22% of the runs at or behind the line of scrimmage, which is the 3rd highest rate. At wide receiver, it's no secret, it's CeeDee Lamb. He found the end zone again and has a touchdown in each of his last 5 games. He's been on a tear alongside Prescott, averaging 12.7 targets, 8.9 receptions, 111.1 receiving yards, and over 27 PPR points per game during that span. He should continue to dominate. If you're desperate and you need to start Brandon Cooks, I would temper expectations because Buffalo plays a lot of too high looks, which limit those down the field explosive plays. And at this point of the season, the Bills have allowed the 2nd fewest yards and 9th fewest touchdowns off 20-plus air yards. At tight end, it's Jake Ferguson. He's a must-start tight end. He's eclipsed 70 yards in consecutive games and continues to see high leverage looks from Prescott. He is second in the entire NFL in targets inside the 10-yard line this year, accounting for 30% of Dallas's targets from that area of the field. In a shallow tight end position, Ferguson is a must-start. Going over to Buffalo, Josh Allen is again the QB1 of all of fantasy, despite a tough matchup with Dallas. He has just three finishes outside the top 10, while his 0.60 fantasy points per dropback are third most in the league. Now, this offense has looked a little different under new offensive coordinator Joe Brady, as Allen is targeting the running back position a heck of a lot more, bringing his ADOT down to 8.0 yards in the three games since Brady took over the offense. At running back, the new offense has been terrific for James Cook. There have been more targets to the running back position, and Cook has been thriving. He's averaging 19 touches and 5.3 targets per game while sporting a healthy 14% target share. They don't want Josh Allen to turn the ball over, so they're looking at shorter pass attempts. That is the key. This is a tough matchup, but you should feel confident as ever starting Cook as a low-end RB2. Wide receiver since week 10, Stephon Diggs has three finishes outside the top 50. Diggs has seen his target share come down in the new offense, but it's also coincided with teams trying to take him out of the offense. Allen is taking what the defense is giving him and not turning the ball over. There's more bracket coverage headed his way. Still, he has 11 targets in each of the last two games with a lot of weird drops, which are not his thing. It's been frustrating, but you can't take Diggs out of your lineup, and you just hope he performs. Maybe connects on a deep pass against a Dallas defense, which can allow it and be risky. Gabe Davis has failed to catch a pass in three of his last five games. This isn't the spot for an upside game, especially if you're in the first round of the fantasy playoffs. He has just a 16.2% target share against man coverage, while the Cowboys run man coverage at the highest rate in the NFL. At tight end, Dawson Knox came back last week. There was an uptick in that 12 personnel from the Bills. Dalton Kincaid did play 78% of the snaps, which is great for the rookie, running around on 86% of dropbacks. Knox played 47% of the snaps and ran around on 39% of the dropbacks. Kincaid is a little banged up right now, so he's a low-end tight end one against a Cowboys defense that coughs up the fifth fewest receptions per game to opposing tight ends. If you're in a deep league, Knox could start, but don't expect a lot of production here because of that. Hopefully you get a couple passes and maybe an end zone catch as well. Those are your four key games for Sunday. We have games on Saturday, games on Sunday. This is the FTN DataCast. I am Mike Randall, Chief Content Officer here at FTN. Follow me on X at Randall Rant, and Adam Pfeiffer will be back next week. His read option is a labor of love, and we're in the home stretch here. Good luck in your fantasy playoffs, and thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN DataCast with Adam Pfeiffer. Be sure to follow your host on Twitter at apfeiffer24. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And we'll see you next time on the FTN DataCast, where data drives the discussion.